Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Around the Corner podcast, your go-to source for the latest news and updates on the Cleveland Guardians minor league system. And I am Brian Heminger, joined today by my fellow co-host, as always, Matt Schlichting. Matt, how you doing today?
It's been a great day. I don't have many complaints.
Yep. Now, typically, we have a show every 2 weeks, but this will be a special three-week edition. So we'll be doing updates on all the top Cleveland Guardians prospects and how they've been performing over the past 3 weeks. We'll be sharing our top five players of the past three weeks, plus our corner cupboard update and all the latest big important transactions and news in the Cleveland Guardians system. Let's just get things rolling and jump right into our top 10 countdown. Do you have any information on our number one prospect, Matt Schlichting?
Daniel Espino is the top prospect in the Cleveland Guardians system. And there was a tweet, dare I say it, a tweet, in which Todd Paquette claimed that he has an arm and can move it.
Yes.
There was, as you told me shortly before the podcast, a video of him doing some resistance training, correct?
Yeah, basically, Espino is out for the rest of the season with surgery on his shoulder. But they already showed a video of him, there's only a 6 second clip, but him raising his arm up and down, doing a little bit of flexibility / resistance training, just starting to strengthen and loosen up that shoulder. So that's good to see. Being a young guy, I do expect Espino to bounce back from this. It'll just be a year. his prospect status is definitely going to take a hit, but once he does come back, I think he's going to be nasty. We just got to wait for him to come back. We got to be patient with this guy.
My guess is that when he is back and fully healthy, it won't take too long for him to regain his status. But
yeah, I think so too. I mean, just remember, who's our probably second best starting pitcher of the last couple years?
Tristan McKenzie, I would say.
Yeah. And if you remember, he had two seasons in a row where he had some injury issues that really, hampered his development and overall playing time. People started saying, he's injury prone, all this stuff. And then prospect status went down the tanks.
Did he fall out of the top 100 entirely? Or did,
oh,
he
yeah,
just...
yeah. I mean, he almost fell out of, the top 10 in the system.
Yes.
And then, boom, comes back, has a great rookie season. And then this past season, he might have been our best pitcher. So he's a guy that I think that they can build on for the future. So
since we're on McKenzie, I want to briefly share a cool moment I caught at a Clippers game.
Oh, yeah. He did just make three straight rehab appearances there.
I think I caught his first one, and I got there early enough so I could watch him warm up in the bullpen in right field. And it's just neat to watch all the other players just sitting there, watching him do his thing, chattering a little bit with each other. It was a really cool moment. That stuff's fun. It's one of the reasons I love baseball.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I interviewed him a while back, very eloquent. And then I met him at Guards Fest, too, the following year. He wasn't at he may have been doing the signings and stuff, but he was also just hanging out by the section where people can just throw and see how fast they can throw. And he was just there with some guy with the Guardians. And I was like, hey, what's up, Dr. Stiggs? Just had a nice little conversation with him. Just me and him just chilling. So
that's excellent.
Yeah, he's a good dude. So I can't wait to see him back. He should be back next week. But speaking of elite starting pitching prospects,
the number two man on the countdown.
Yeah.
Gavin Williams. How did he do in the last 3 weeks?
So he's had four starts, and I'll say they were pretty impressive. In those four starts, he pitched a total of 21 and a third innings, struck out 31, walked 8, allowed 7 runs, 15 hits. The whip was 1.06, which is excellent. His ERA was 2.91, also excellent. Striking out 36.5% of batters faced, elite. I mean, it's just impressive. Yeah, he had a 10 strikeout game in 5 2/3 innings and a 9 strikeout game in 6 innings. So
that's fantastic. That's
his worst game, he went 3 2/3 and struck out 6 and allowed 2 runs.
And that's not even bad.
No, it's not.
May very well, in a major league game, have cruised along to throw 6.
So, yeah, and he went, I think that the most promising thing is, out of those 4 starts, it's 5 2/3 innings, 3 2/3, 6 6 1/3. And those are his 2 most recent. So he's stretching out. His fastball was almost 100 miles an hour his last start. So everything is looking really good with Gavin Williams. And it's only a matter of time until he gets called up too, with how great the other 2 pitchers that we'll be talking about shortly have been pitching.
I wonder if him being stretched out is an early indicator that the club may be considering promoting him, but we shall see.
At this point, the only way that they promote him is if they make room for him in advance, and that's by trading one of their veteran starting pitchers. Logan Allen and Tanner Bibee, who, again, we will be talking about soon, are not going anywhere.
No.
And you've got McKenzie, Bieber, Quantrill, Savali, plus Plesac on the 40-man. You got to make room if you're going to be adding these Gavin Williams. So I think it could end up being an addition by subtraction situation where we trade away, you know, a talented veteran starting pitcher to make room for the future.
And Bibee and Allen are certainly not going anywhere at this point. In the pregame radio show this week, Francona said they've earned the chance to keep pitching at the major league level.
Absolutely. So, well, let's take this on. You know, Gavin Williams is great. That's really all you need to know. He is fantastic. He's been completely dominant at every level, and he just continues to be on cruise control. And it's only a matter of time till we see him in the major leagues. I would say possibly by July.
Very exciting. Next up, number 3. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the number 3 prospect, George Valera. So he had not played heading into this podcast. What's up with George Valera?
He saw a little bit of playing time in 5 games. He had a slash of 188, 364, 250, and a WRC plus of 58. Unfortunately, he injured his hamstring, and so he is back on the injured list.
So, yep, he hurt his hand, finally got healthy, and then played 5 games, and then got hurt again. So, super frustrating, especially with Cleveland needing some help in the outfield right now. If he'd have been hot, I mean, he could have just been average and might have earned a promotion up to Cleveland. So that it's not happening, at least for a while yet. But I do have a small update on George Valera. Is apparently the hamstring issue is not serious. He should be back within a week.
Just maybe take it a little easier when you get back out there, George. Don't pull a hamstring again.
Yeah, he did steal a base, which is good, and 5 walks is great. So I think that's the promising thing. It seemed like his contact issues or his poor WRC plus was more bad luck related, because 5 walks, only 2 strikeouts out of his plate appearances.
Yeah, so his BABIP was, I think, an even 200.
I mean, a 9.1% strikeout rate, that's like Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan levels. So I would be very happy with that.
Yeah, we'll just have to remain a little bit more patient to see more outcomes.
Yeah, but extremely small sample size, 5 games. So gotta see more before we can really start making any judgments.
Now, I am ready to hear some good news about the number 4 man on the countdown, major leaguer Tanner Bibee.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he's not going to be on this list for much longer because he's a part of the Cleveland Guardians, and I don't think he is ever going back to the minor leagues. So the only thing that we'll be talking about him as a prospect is his Rookie of the Year contention.
Okay.
So, but in terms of starts, I mean, he was fantastic. He had 3 starts over the last 3 weeks. Pitched 19 2/3 innings, 19 strikeouts compared to just 5 walks, allowed 4 earned runs, ERA 1.83 with a 2.93 FIP, 26% strikeout rate, striking out 8.69 per 9 innings. And he just gets better and better and better every time we see him. I mean, his last start was absolutely nasty. He went 6 innings, struck out 9, gave up 1 run on 2 hits with 1 walk against the St. Louis Cardinals. That team has like 2 or 3 Hall of Famers in its lineup.
It was very impressive.
Yeah, that was insane. And you know what he did before that? He faced the New York Mets, who have, again, one of the toughest lineups in baseball, at New York, goes 6 innings, 2 runs. Now, he did struggle a little bit. Like, he gave up 4 walks, gave up 7 hits, but worked his way out of everything. And then the start before that, 7 2/3 innings, 1 run, no walks, 7 strikeouts against the Angels. That means he had to face Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how good. So he faced 3 insanely good teams in terms of offense and put up those numbers.
My he pitched God. Like an ace. Yeah,
he is. He is pitching like an ace. No joke. Him and Logan Allen have been our 2 best pitchers over the last month.
Yeah, I was wondering when I was putting the numbers in earlier today, so I had to go check and see, and they certainly have been.
Yeah. His Tanner Bibee's only bad start so far at the pro level was against the freaking Tigers. I don't know how that happened.
Baseball.
Baseball. But yeah, this guy's here to stay, and it seems like he's starting to get that fastball command too. I just can't wait to see him have a start where he has full, perfect command of every one of his pitches, because it seems like maybe there's one pitch that just isn't quite working that each day. But, and he's still this good. So he's only going to get better. And that's the scary part. So
other teams should be frightened.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about our number 5 prospect on the list, Brian Rocchio.
He was excellent in his time at AAA. And there's a pause in the middle of those numbers because he was very briefly up at the major leagues again.
Got his first MLB hit.
Mm-hmm.
Made some gold glove level plays at third base as well, if you got a chance to watch him.
Yeah, it was interesting that they managed to sneak him into the lineup at third, and having not really played there in a long time, it looks like he could play the position, but he's too valuable at shortstop.
Yep.
But it's amazing that he was able to go out there in a major league game and contribute. Just playing ball.
I just find it hilarious that they just keep putting like Arias and Rocchio and whoever at third to give like Jose a day off. And they look so insanely good over there, like gold glove level defense. And then you've got Amed Rosario next to them, like the worst defensive shortstop in baseball. I would kill right now to have Arias or Rocchio as just our starting shortstop right now. Or Freeman, even.
It has been a little bit of a frustration.
But, yeah, Rocchio, disgusting. I mean, you'd think that it would throw somebody off getting up and down. This is because he's been up and down twice now. He got up the one time and didn't get to play, but got up this time, got a few games in, and then got sent right back down. And he just continues to be a force on offense.
It has been some statement baseball. He slashed .365, .450, .519, WRC plus of .151, 6 doubles, had a triple, no home runs. So slugging could have even been a little bit higher. Some of those balls carry a little further. Just an excellent 3 weeks.
Yep. I love Brian Rocchio. I cannot wait to see more of him. So it's only a matter of time. Amed Rosario is gone at the end of this season. Worst case, best case, at the trade deadline, and then we'll finally get to see which of those, all these talented young guys, can take that shortstop position and run with it.
Speaking of another important position in the middle of the infield, up the middle, I suppose, how did Bo Naylor fare?
Yeah, Bo was rock solid. Again, he also got called up during a time of need when we had some injuries and some issues and need, I think, some a doubleheader situation. So, again, he's still looking for that first MLB hit, but in terms of minor leagues, he is just doing fantastic. Slashing over the last 3 weeks, 250, 368, 446, good for a 105 WRC+. Relatively low BABIP of 267. Strikeout rate, nice at 14.7. Walk rate, elite, 16.2%. In those 15 games, he had 14 hits. Eight of them were singles, three doubles, a triple, two home runs, scored 11 runs, knocked in nine, walked 11 times compared to 10 strikeouts. So just fantastic. And good defense behind the plate. So, you know, it seems like the more and more we've seen Zunino lately, the more and more people are clamoring for Bo.
We have had a little bit of a lift from the catchers at the plate recently.
Yeah, Gallagher's been actually playing better than Zunino. So at least as long as we've got somebody playing good defense and earning starts and hitting the ball a little bit, that'll be enough to probably let Bo continue to develop and push past that Super 2 deadline and everything. Again, it's only a matter of time. Bo is coming.
And we are excited.
Yeah,
now. We are.
Yeah, so moving on, we've got our number 7 prospect on the list, Angel Martinez. So
he slashed a nifty 254, 329, 388. That was a WRC plus of 97, strikeout rate of 19.5, walk rate of 7.8. It was over a total of 77 plate appearances, 17 hits, 6 doubles, had a home run, scored 5 times, drove in 12, 6 walks, 15 strikeouts, leaned into 2, and stole a base. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's excellent. I mean, even though he hasn't been insanely, you know, like elite, he's still one of those younger guys at the AA level. And for him to just over a course of 3 weeks be league average, I can live with that, especially since the strikeout rate isn't horrific. I'd love to see a little bit more power, but I think that's just going to keep coming. I mean, if you've seen photos of this guy since he's on the 40-man roster now, he's been filling out as he's getting a little older, and I think it's only a matter of time until he starts really blasting some home runs.
Yeah, the power may come. It's time for us to learn more about Logan Allen.
All right. Logan Allen, who, as we mentioned earlier, at the major league level, doing fantastic. In his last 3 weeks, he had 4 starts, pitched 23 innings, struck out 24, walked 6, allowed 8 runs, 7 earned, good for a 2.74 ERA, which is fantastic. FIP 2.55, which was actually better than Tanner Bibee's FIP. Strikeout rate 23.8%, 9.39 K per 9. And I think most impressive was this last start where he went 10 strikeouts in 7 shutout innings against a very good hitting Baltimore Orioles team that scored 8 runs each off of Cal Quantrill and Shane Bieber. But they had no answer for Logan Allen.
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
This is basically the version of Logan Allen that we had envisioned he could become, and he's doing it in his rookie year.
Exactly. Again, just like Tanner Bibee, Logan Allen's putting his name in for rookie of the year contention at this moment. I think
it would be neat to have 2 pitchers on the same team, like neck and neck for that. Make it happen, guys.
You know the last time we had a rookie pitcher that was rookie of the year contender?
Bartolo Colon comes to mind as a possibility.
CC Sabathia.
Yeah, that makes sense too.
I can't think of anybody else. I know Tristan McKenzie was good, but you know, just a very small sample size, didn't pitch enough. But these guys, they've got called up early enough that if they can pitch a full season like the way they're pitching, they're going to be getting some votes for sure. I know it's typically weighted more towards position players who are out there every day, but man, Tanner Bibee and Logan Allen at this point might be our top 2 pitchers. So I'm loving it. I love that the trust that they're showing in them. I love that even though McKenzie and Savali are both about to be activated, it's looking like Tanner and Logan are sticking around. So we're going to have to find two more prospects pretty soon to replace them on our little list.
The good news is it's a pretty deep system and there will be intriguing gentlemen.
So I guess before we move on to our next prospects, do you have any suggestions for who's going to have to replace Tanner Bibee and Logan Allen? I think they haven't lost their rookie status yet, so we'll have them for one more podcast. But after that, we're going to have to move on because we've already moved on from Will Brennan, who is no longer rookie status according to MLB Pipeline. We added one player, so we'll be talking about them at number 10. But
no one comes to mind immediately. I'd like to spend the fortnight to consider.
Can I throw in a suggestion?
You may.
Juan Brito.
I do like this selection.
So he was our return in the Nolan Jones trade. So, and we will have more news on Juan Brito later. So
for now, suffice it to say that he appears to be very good at baseball.
Yes, he is very, very good at baseball. So that'll at least be at least one suggestion, but I'm not going to spoil everything by suggesting two and then making Matt have to not think at all about who we should be adding.
So. No, I want to sit and think with it because there's, you can think of a guy who was on the list last year, you know, probably doesn't have the numbers, but there's also some of the lower level players that I'm not as familiar with that I'd like to take some time and review.
Yep. So moving on, we've got our number eight, our nine prospect, Chase DeLauder, our first round draft pick in last year's draft. Any updates on Chase DeLauder?
He is able to pick up a bat and swing it, as evidenced by a double he hit in extended spring training.
Yep. The latest updates from him is he is playing baseball in Arizona. He had off-season surgery on one of his toes, I think, that was broken or something. So they said that he could be back by June, and it's looking like he's going to be back by June. So that's great news to hear. If he's already playing full games, I mean, I would like to think that he'll be back sooner than later, like to the point where we could be finally giving some stats on Chase DeLauder in the next podcast.
I would be thrilled. Yeah, there's been a few instances of there being hype surrounding a player for a while before we finally get to see any numbers. So,
because what's interesting is MLB Pipeline has kept him in their top 100 despite him not playing yet. So they really believe in him. So
I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's the final man on the countdown today. Starting pitcher Joey Cantillo.
Yeah. Cantillo had one start, three appearances total. Two of them were piggyback starts or where he came in long relief, which was planned. In those three appearances, he pitched 10 or 12 innings, struck out 14, walked 11. So that is a bit of an issue. Allowed 9 hits, but out of all of those 20 base runners, only 5 came around to score on him. So ERA was 3.75, had a 25.5% strikeout rate. Walk rate, definitely a little high at 20%, but it's good to see that he is, you know, making batters miss. And that's what we really like to see. We don't like to see the walks. The good news is I think that hasn't been a long-term issue with him. It might just be, you know, maybe he just had a couple rough days. But I still, even with him having some tough walks there, I think it's not going to be much longer that he's pitching at AA. There's really nobody at AAA right now that's holding a spot that is like, oh my God, you know, we can't promote Joey Cantillo because it'll take this guy out of the rotation. No, we've got like 3 guys in the Columbus rotation that could get bumped out to long relief at any moment.
Poor guys.
So that's our top 10 for the moment. And now moving on. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask if you would like to proceed to the top 5 players of the week from all over the system.
Yeah. So this will be spanning 3 weeks instead of 2 weeks. So really had to refine the senses here, but had some really interesting players. I think the one that really jumped out to me was our first player, Christian Cairo, Now, for those of you that don't remember, he is the son of Miguel Cairo. He is 21 years old. He was our fourth round pick in the 2019 draft out of Cavalry Christian High School in Clearwater, Florida. Did not hit much at any level. In 2019, he didn't hit very well in the Arizona Complex League. Obviously, they didn't have a 2020 season. But in 2021, he started the year at single A, didn't hit well there, got promoted anyway, and went to Lake County and didn't hit well there. Then last year, he was at Lake County again, didn't hit well there, had a 198 batting average for the whole season. So after starting last year at Lake County, he's staying at Lake County this year, and all of a sudden, he is hitting. He's been hitting all season. Now, I don't know if it's just because he's been repeating at the level, but whatever is happening, it's working. And he is a shortstop prospect, for those of you that are curious. Let me check and see what position he's been playing most. Let's see. 69 games in his career at second, 74 at third, 29 at shortstop. So
he's getting to play all over a little bit.
Yeah, mostly second and third, though. But regardless, over the last 3 weeks, he slashed .357, .514, .500, had a 199 WRC plus, a .346 BAPIP. So this wasn't like completely luck related. The thing that really blew my mind was in that time period, 8 walks, 1 hit by pitch, 1 strikeout, just 1. Stole 4 bases, did not get caught, hit a home run, had a double, 8 singles. Just everything looks great.
Everyone likes a hitter who barely strikes out. The Guardians really like a hitter who barely strikes out. That's nuts.
Yeah, what's interesting is he wasn't known as a hitter. You know, when they drafted him, it was a glove guy. But man, the fact that his strikeout rate has been so low this season and his on base is so high is really, really impressing me. I mean, he's got a .406 on base percentage for the entire season so far. So, he might be earning a promotion to Double A here soon.
We'll have to keep our eye on him. Number 2 in the top 5 this week is Connor Cox.
Yeah, for those of you unaware, he is a college bat that we drafted back in the day. He is at Double A right now, and over the last 13 games spanning the last 3 weeks, slashed .326, .453, .442, good for a 155 WRC plus. Hit a home run, had a couple doubles, stole a couple bases, 18.9% strikeout rate, 13.2% walk rate, just all around excellent, and especially at Double A, where Akron's offense has been surprisingly poor all season. He's been a nice little surprise there in the lower half of their lineup.
Now, the only thing that I would want to criticize really in his line is the 10 strikeouts, but that's not really even that high a strikeout rate. So just 3 great weeks of baseball, and we'll have to keep an eye on him and see if he keeps annihilating things.
Yeah, he was a 12th round pick in the 2021 draft out of Long Beach State. So currently 23 years old. So right about at that age level of most Double A players, I'd say. So, just good to see him have a nice little performance there. We could always use more outfielders playing well in our minor league system. And next up, this one is a guy, if you know who this guy is, I'm just going to punch you because you're lying. But he's been a piggyback partner all season. He was a 18th round pick in last year's draft, college arm, and he has been absolutely insane. He's been good this season. His last 3 appearances were ridiculous. So over the last 3 weeks, he had 3 piggyback appearances, each of them was at least 3 innings. And in that time, he pitched 11 innings total, struck out 15, didn't walk any, 3 hits, 1 run. FIP was 1.04, ERA 0.82, 0% walk rate, 40.5% strikeout rate. So this guy, it might be somebody worth keeping an eye on. Now, he is 21 years old at our single A affiliate. So, you know, that's, it's not like he's like some super prospect that's just blowing away people way older than him. But with this kind of performance, I think he's not going to be staying there long, or they might be starting him instead of piggybacking him and seeing what he can do there from that position.
Those are explosive numbers for that.
And some of the best I've seen out of a piggyback starter. It reminds me of Jack Leftwich last year, who started as a piggyback guy before earning starting pitcher status, and now he's at double A and still in your cupboard.
He is, and we will get to that shortly, but we still have two more players to fill out the top five from everywhere, but we've already discussed them, it turns out.
Yeah, I really, you know, there were a lot of guys that had good weeks. You know, Juan Brito had a good week. Mike Collado had a good week. Juan Benjamin had a good 3 weeks. And it's just every single guy that I was looking up, and I was like, you know what? I think they were all really good. Every one of them was in like the 130 to 140 WRC plus range, which is great. It's just not top five of the system level. So, and every starting pitcher that I looked up was other than obviously Mr. Jacobs, who just blew my mind. But everybody else had like a 3 or a 2.9 ERA. You know, it was good, but I'm like, I want, you know, eye popping. So everybody had in the system that I looked up, that I was like trying to see a contender for our top five, they were close. They were good. They just weren't great, great. And the other two great greats, I mean, Brian Rocchio, with that 365, 450, 519 slash 151 WRC plus at AAA while getting promoted and demoted from the major league level. That's super impressive.
And makes then, for a pretty fun May.
Yeah. And Gavin Williams, I mean, 31 strikeouts, having a 10 strikeout game and a 9 strikeout game.
He kind of left us with no choice.
Yeah, we had to add him. So again, we've already talked about those two, but they were such great performances that they deserve top five of the week nomination as well.
I believe it's corner cupboard time.
Yep. Wow. So moving on to that corner cupboard, we had my boy Joe Lampa. Is it Lampa or Lampy? I always can never say.
Lampy.
Lampy. He at high A Lake County /240 with a 409 on base percentage, 400 slugging, good for a 142 WRC plus, stole a base, walked 14 times, had 10 RBIs, 9 runs, a pair of homers, a pair of doubles, 8 singles. Didn't have the best hitting performances, but, and I'm a little concerned about the strikeout rate, but everything else was super impressive.
Yeah, if he still manages to walk more than 20% of the time, I'll allow a close to 25% strikeout rate. I'm flexible.
Three true outcome, except not a super powerful guy, but he is starting to hit a few home runs, which is good to hear too. How did your position player do?
Jake Fox had a pretty good stretch over the last 3 weeks. He hit 217, 319, 317. Nothing eye-popping, but relative to the rest of the league, it was an 89 WRC+. BABIP wasn't too horrid to him, but it was maybe a little bit low. During that 16-game stretch, he had 3 doubles and a home run, 8 runs scored, 14 ribbies, 10 walks, 16 strikeouts. Interestingly, in 4 stolen base attempts, he was caught 3 times.
One thing to remember is Jake Fox is also at high A, and he was a high school draftee, not a college like Joe. So he is at the same level as my boy Joe, except he's 2 years younger. So everything that he does, you have to give him a weighted average towards the fact that, you know, he's a younger player that develops slower, and the fact that he's at high A already and performing even league average level is really good.
Yeah, age will always be a consideration when evaluating prospects. It's not the be all end all, but
now moving on to the pitchers in our corner cupboard, Parker Messick, my boy, had a pretty nice little stretch here. He had 4 starts, and in those starts, he pitched a combined 19 innings, Ended up allowing 8 runs on 13 hits with 22 strikeouts and 3 walks. That's the thing I like to see, though. 22 strikeouts to 3 walks. Most impressively, on May 10th, he pitched 5 one-hit innings with 7 strikeouts and no walks. So literally one hit away from 7 perfect innings. 7 innings, not 5. He's been a little hit and miss. His last start, he went 4 innings. The one before that, he went 3. But still, he's been one of the better pitchers in Cleveland's minor league system so far this year. I think on the season, he has a 2.75 ERA over 9 starts with a 2.79 FIP. So good to see, and might be earning a midseason promotion, I think.
That's just an outstanding stretch of baseball.
Yep. How did your boy do?
Leftwich had an interesting 3 weeks. He had 2 starts and then came in twice as a piggybacker as well. In 16 total innings pitched, he struck out close to 8 per 9. That's a strikeout rate of about 20%. Only walked, 2.25. 5.5% walk rate. He did end up giving up at least 1 home run in every game, and 2 in 2 of them, along with 22 hits, 17 earned runs, grand total of 5 dingers, 3 wild pitches and a balk, too. So 9.56 ERA. FIP says he was, better, but still 6.32. It was tough sledding. He is at AA for, I believe, the first time this year.
Yeah, he didn't. He started the year at AA after ending last season at high A. And he started last season as a piggyback guy in Lynchburg. So he's had an up and down season. The good news is, out of all this, is even though he's been hittable, maybe he's just been in the zone a little too much because not walking guys, at least. So he's not hurting himself. He's just needs to be missing a few more bats.
Than he's got some time to, I'd say, adjust to the AA level still.
Yep.
Still only about a month and a half of baseball for them so far.
Oh yeah, we're barely scratching the surface on the minor league season. This goes all the way into September, so we've still got June, July, August, and a little bit of September. That's quite a bit of time. We haven't even started the half season leagues yet, which will start soon. But
I'd be very excited to get some of those stats in the top 5 too. Those end up being some fun batting lines sometimes,
especially with some of the prospects that we have at those levels, like Welvin Francisca and Churio, and we've got some studs.
I'm excited for Churio, especially. He may be anyway.
I mean, his brother is currently the number 2 prospect in all of baseball according to MLB Pipeline. So if he's even close to as good as his brother, that's that would be very good for us.
We will close the cupboard for now. That brings us to injuries and transactions from the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's been quite a few things going on over those few weeks. I'd say first thing was George Valera being activated and then placed back on the injured list with a hamstring issue. On the bright side, Pete Halpin was activated in Akron and is currently on a little hitting streak.
Very exciting.
Yep. Back to negative, Josh Wolf. One of the returns in the Francisco Lindor trade was placed on the injured list at Lake County with right elbow soreness. That's never a good sign. Oh, I missed this. Joey Cantillo was promoted to Columbus on May 17th. So his last couple starts were at Columbus.
Makes it even a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. How did I miss that? I pay attention usually to every major promotion and I'm all over it.
Well, he piggybacked for McKenzie in the game that I saw, so I forgot to mention it as well.
Yeah, you could have been like, oh yeah, I saw Joey Cantillo at AAA.
It just didn't click, I'm sorry. But so now that you said it, I was like, oh yeah, he came in after McKenzie.
So
my bad.
That's okay. yeah, both of his piggyback appearances were in AAA, and I think they were both behind McKenzie. He pitched May 20th and May 26th. So went 4 1/3 and 3 innings each. So that's good. Okay. So that also explains it because he's facing he was facing AAA batters for the first time who aren't going to always swing at all of his out pitches. And that's where most of his walks came from as well. He had 5 walks in a AAA, his debut, and 4 in the second one. So, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. My concern is dropping a little bit because, you know, it takes a little bit of adjustment when you get that promotion and you're facing advanced hitters. A lot of them have even been to major leagues already. So,
well, and we've seen that it's not uncommon for a player in the Guardians system, in particular when they hit AAA, to struggle a little bit and then ultimately be fine. Logan Allen's the most immediate example, but it's going to be interesting to track Cantillo at AAA because I'm assuming that once McKenzie's up, Cantillo will probably just be the starter on those days. And so they've been piggybacking him to help get the rhythm going.
Moving on, we've got a few more really interesting promotions, transactions. Angel Zarate, who had been off to a pretty good start as a college bat outfielder in Lynchburg, was placed on the 7-day injured list there with a right hamstring issue. But 2 days later, Press Kavanaugh, another college bat at Lynchburg, who had gotten off to a great start before a knee injury, was activated May 23rd. And then this one I'm extremely excited about is Justin Boyd, who was the primary return in the Will Benson trade, Cincinnati's second round pick last year. Was activated yesterday from the injured list with a hamstring injury, and he made his debut today. So great to see that. And then we had a few more promotions. The biggest ones were, first thing was Angel Gunnow being activated from injury and making his debut as a shortstop prospect in Lynchburg, which meant they had to move up a middle infielder prospect in Nate Furman, who had been just tearing the cover off the ball as a leadoff hitter for Lynchburg. I think he had 27 steals already.
And he was getting a huge number of walks as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like easily over 400 on base percentage. So he got promoted to Lake County, and that meant Lake County had to promote somebody. So Lake County promoted Juan Brito from high A to double A. And so Brito is now a guy that I just mentioned earlier should be in our top 10, is at double A as a 21-year-old. So great news there. So obviously the biggest promotions out of all those were Brito and Joey Cantillo. So I am ecstatic to see Joey Cantillo at triple A. I do not have any updates on a couple other injured players. The main one is Justin Campbell. I just don't know what's up with him. He has that little elbow thing with the weird nerve issue. Let's see. Oh, okay. I do have an update on Justin Campbell. So he was already out with an injury and had not made his debut yet. He was our second round pick this past season.
Mm-hmm.
He underwent ulnar nerve decompression surgery.
That doesn't sound like it's comfortable.
Yeah, because he had that issue where it makes it feel like your elbow's tingling all the time, like your funny bone's been hit.
No.
Yeah, like all the time.
I don't.
So he had to have surgery to decompress that nerve. So it's not like, you know, he had tendons replaced. It's just they kind of had to maybe move a couple things around in there. And he was our 37th overall pick in the last year's draft, or the 37th overall pick in last year's draft. I think he was actually a first round compensation pick type of thing. But he will miss the rest of the season. We will have to wait to see him debut next year.
That one's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
I was excited about the infielder promotion chain, and now hopefully his elbow heals up quickly and he does not end up feeling a tingling sensation all of the time.
Mm-hmm. And still no updates on Steve Hajar, who also was a return in the Will Benson trade. Another interesting pitching prospect.
We will have to keep our eyes peeled.
And Cody Morris is doing some rehab assignments as well. So,
do you feel that he is going immediately into the bullpen once he's ready to go.
What, Morris?
Yes.
Probably. Or they might just keep him at AAA. I mean, it depends if they think they've got room for him at this point. They might just want to let him build up some endurance as a starter at AAA.
I could see them going that way, too.
They want him to be a starter still, but there's definitely no room for him in the rotation at the moment, not with McKenzie and Savali both back as well. Like, Morris would have been perfect as our fifth guy when we needed, you know, in starting Hunter Gaddis instead, but there's just no room for him at the moment. Like, we've got six guys ahead of him in the pecking order that are healthy at this point. So, but, you know, that's what happens when you keep getting injured. Other guys start leapfrogging you, too. Got to stay healthy at this level.
I believe that brings us to the end of this week's podcast.
Yeah, we typically do have you know, something a little fun to throw in there at the end. I don't know if you have any available to us. But
I actually do have an E.E. Gammings poem that I was able to have generated.
Ooh, I would like to see this.
Isn't it so ironic that Ever So by Telescopes was playing on the Guardian's public address system? Just as Mike Chernoff, who is as dominating as they come, was talking to Terry Francona about Cam Gallagher, who showed up at spring training looking like a bagel. A bagel!